Summer is having its last licks in the Piedmont, spreading a layer of warm, heavy air over the southwestern reaches of the Rivanna watershed in Fluvanna. My destination is Shire Natural Area, 10 miles west of Palmyra, and to a talk hosted by the Rivanna Conservation Society, who owns the 100-acre preserve. Rolling hills, farmed in hay, give way to patches of forest and modest houses set back from the road. Goldenrod and Queen Anne's lace offer patches of color and light. Here and there, I can see the peaks of pine emerging like soldiers from behind an unruly patch of trees, evidence of land reclaimed for growing timber. As I join the group late, Steve Pence, a professional forester, has already warmed to the subjects of the roles of trees in our lives and the changing climate, a complex subject at best. He's just finishing up on the basics of the carbon cycle, how trees breathe in carbon dioxide and give off the oxygen so necessary to human life, and talking about the difference between carbon sequestration and carbon sinks, important concepts in this era of global climate change. We need plants, he says, but they don't need us. This is a startling thought to me as I stand amidst a crop of young trees, 2-foot-high seedlings of oak, beech, hickory, and maple on the edge of the gravel parking lot. Carbon sequestration is the process of carbon being removed from the atmosphere by, for example, a young forest of rapidly growing trees that absorb carbon dioxide, creating a reserve called a carbon sink. When a forest is allowed to mature, its ability to take up or remove carbon from the atmosphere is slowed, resulting in a dynamic equilibrium. As trees die and decompose, they give up the carbon to the soil and atmosphere. As new trees grow in their place, these youngsters utilize the carbon in the atmosphere to photosynthesize, hence the green leaves, the underground roots, the colors of fall, and the shelter from the storm. Planting trees can help mitigate global warming by removing carbon from the atmosphere. However, the rate at which forests can sequester carbon, given the available land, is far exceeded by the rate at which it is released by the combustion of fossilized forests, those carbon sinks in the form of coal, oil, and natural gas. Still, every bit counts. When Howard Shire bought this land in the 1950s, it was open and agricultural, farmed successively in corn, cotton, and tobacco since the last century. He planted loblolly pine. But in the 1980s, when the pine bark beetle was starting to impact forests in Virginia, Mr. Shire harvested all of the loblollies on his property, leaving the young hardwoods that had sprouted in the understory to grow and thrive. These trees, now almost 60 years old, are the ones beyond the kiosk here, through which over 3 miles of trails wind, traversing the gentle landscape of the upper Cunningham Creek watershed. After the talk, I enter the forest on the Red Trail, which loops around the perimeter of this land in a forest that is simply sweet. And somehow it does seem young. The verdant green, lush with patches of mosses, prolific in their own bloom. All around me, acorns drop to the ground, sharp thuds punctuating the sound of my feet shuffling through fallen leaves. Mr. Shire's gift stipulated that no living tree be removed from the land. Thus, it will eventually reach its own equilibrium, an old-growth stand surrounded by farms and younger forests. The term sequester is derived from the Latin, meaning to hand over disputed property to a third party, a trustee. While the planet grows warmer and the atmosphere richer in CO2, here in Fluvanna, 100 acres of forest are set aside in perpetuity and in trust to grow rich with trees and the carbon that they store. This is Leslie Middleton. Please join me next week at this same time for another installment of the Rivanna Rambler, or for podcasts anytime online at rivannarambler.org. If you have questions or comments, please call 924-0885 or visit wtju.net.